I think there's a familiar experience that I think most of us know. We may not talk about it much. We may not express it a lot, but I think it's something that we can relate to. I think it's something that we are familiar with. And it's that moment when we may go to the pantry and we open the pantry and we find that there's very little there. It may be like that young mother who's trying to take care of her small children and finds that there's only a little formula left. Or maybe it's that moment when we open our checkbook and we're faced with the bills that need to get paid for the month, and we realize there's just not enough left. Or perhaps we come home and we're exhausted, we're tired, we're worn out, and that friend calls us that needs help. And we just feel like we don't have any energy left for the day. That time when we count our pennies and find out we don't have enough pennies. In fact, even the pennies have now been taken away. Everything seems to be piling up. Everything seems to be closing in around us. And as we look at things, there is an apparent gap between what we have and what's needed. And we realize we don't have enough to fill the gap. And the gap seems impossible to close. Have we been there at some point in our lives? I think it's something that each of us perhaps have experienced in our own lives, or maybe we've seen it in our family, even in our church family. We face seasons. We face times when our resources are stretched painfully thin, and we just don't know how we're going to make the ends meet. I think that in some ways connects us with the disciples in Luke chapter 9. So I want to encourage you, go ahead and open your Bibles there to Luke 9, where large crowds have gathered around Jesus and the disciples. And they're in a very remote place. And as the day is drawing to a close, the disciples are faced with thousands of people looking at them. Who are hungry. And they take inventory of what they have, a couple of fish and a few small loaves of bread, and they discover there's a gap that seems to be a gap they could never close. It's an impossible gap to fill and to close. And their concern is reasonable. Their solution is practical. I would even say their solution was responsible. But what happens next is an invitation. Jesus invites them to see what happens when limited resources meet the generosity of God. Jesus is going to invite them to see what happens when limited resources meet the generosity of God. Of God. And the story is just not about bread and fish. The story really is about trust in the wilderness. The scene is familiar. For the people of God, we've been here before. This place is familiar. It's a place that we've all been in. It's the wilderness, a place of scarcity. A place that lacks resources, that lacks provision, a place where things in life just seem to be stretched thin. But this story and this account is about learning how to follow and trust the Messiah, the one who provides. So our series is titled Around the Table, and each week we're going through the Gospel of Luke and we're looking at this different table scenes that Luke presents for us and understanding more about Jesus and understanding more about the kingdom of God. And today I want to invite you not so much to the table, but to grab your picnic blanket and let's go out to the wilderness with Jesus and the disciples. Let's go out with the crowds who are gathered round and let's throw down our blankets around the table of provision. Now, if you notice our passage, Luke chapter 9, just down there in verse 10, where we will begin, the fellowship, the time around Jesus actually begins with the disciples returning from a mission trip. Jesus has sent them out and they come back and they're sharing, verse 10, stories of healing. They're sharing about the teaching of the gospel and the kingdom of God. They're telling about all that the Lord has done. And part of their trip, I want to suggest, was learning. Learning to depend on God. You remember what Jesus' instruction was? He told them, don't take any extra clothes. Don't take any extra money with you. Take no provisions with you at all. And when they return from this trip, they're telling about all the ways in which God has provided. And so Jesus invites them to a quiet place, Bethsaida. And so Jesus and the disciples go off to Bethsaida. And I imagine they're kind of getting away for a little rest, a little relaxation, a little recuperation, if you will, from the journey and the trip and sharing the gospel that they had just been on. Our family and we just took a trip over the weekend. We went up to the country where we go. And the whole point was just to relax a little bit, to get away from the normal and to slow down and in some ways catch our breath. And I imagine that's what Jesus is doing here with the disciples. But the crowds find out where he is. And they follow Jesus. And all of a sudden, instead of recovery, their rest is interrupted. The crowds discover where Jesus is. And what does Jesus do? Does he send them away? He welcomes them. He welcomes them. He begins healing. He begins teaching them about the kingdom of God. And this raises a question. Notice in verses 7 and following. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on. And he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets from long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this that I hear such things about? And he tried to see them. I want you to understand that the background of the whole scene that we are about to explore, and perhaps even the background of the entire Gospel of John, surrounds around this question. Who is this Jesus anyway? Who is this? And Jesus doesn't just simply tolerate the crowd. He has compassion for them. And the miracles, if we notice, they don't happen in the context of abundance. The miracles don't happen in the context of plenty. They happen in the wilderness, in the context of scarcity. At a time when the day is drawing to a close. And Jesus chooses this occasion, Jesus takes this time to demonstrate the kingdom of God and God's provision, God's generosity. Large crowds gather around as the day draws to a close. And the disciples come with a very reasonable request in verse 12. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came and said, send the crowd away. They can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging because we are in a desolate place. We are in a remote place. Now, their request seems very practical, doesn't it? It seems like the responsible thing to do. Jesus, there are thousands of people gathered here in this wilderness, in this desolate place, and we don't have what we need to satisfy them for the evening. We don't have what they need. They need food. They need nourishment. This seems like a very responsible request. They measure the situation. We've got just but a few fish and a few loaves, and the need is far greater than what our resources are. They measure the situation. They understand the limits that they have. And what they see is an impossible gap. There is no way we're going to fill this need. There's no way we're going to get from point A to point B. It's an impossible gap to fill. They do what I often do in these situations. Perhaps you do as well. We quickly take inventory. We measure our resources. Or perhaps we see the lack of our resources. And I don't know about you, but for me, what immediately happens next is I go into the planning phase. How am I going to make up this gap? And I start coming up with all types of plans and all types of budgets and ways to go and earn extra money. You know, whatever needs to be done, my first reaction, fill the gap. Because I don't have what I need for the end of the month. I mean, after all, that's what responsible people do. Well, maybe they don't even get themselves into this situation. I don't know. But here's the problem. In my hastily made plans, what have I failed to do? Consult Jesus. Very seldom do I actually bring the problem before Jesus. He's given me common sense. He's given me a strong work ethic. I know when it's time to get out of the street. And I set about making my plans before I ever consult Jesus. Am I talking to anybody? Does anybody relate? Don't feel like it's just you. Because I'm telling you, I do it. Probably weekly, if not daily. Verse 13, you give them something to eat. They answered, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go buy food for all this crowd. What do the disciples do? Right back to the problem. Maybe, Jesus, you didn't quite understand what the problem is. Maybe you didn't see what we see. The disciples are quick to, again, point out the problem. There's only five loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus. We're limited. We're in the wilderness. It's a place of scarcity. There's an impossible gap. Don't you see it? Between what we have and what we need? Where's their focus? Where's their perspective? It's on the wilderness. It's on the scarcity of their resources. And that's often where I find myself. But Jesus is inviting them to a different table. He's inviting them to see something different. He's inviting them to trust God who has provided and continues to provide in the wilderness. Now, for those of us who have followed Jesus for a little time, this scene should be looking familiar to us. It's no accident that Jesus uses this remote, solitary place, this wilderness, to teach about the kingdom of God. It's no accident that Jesus takes this moment to start healing the sick and those who are in need. It's no accident that here Jesus multiplies the loaves and the fish. The wilderness is a significant scene in the story of Israel and in the story of Scripture. Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And what did they do there? They learned to trust. An environment of scarcity, an environment where they didn't have the resources they needed. What was it that they were learning? They were learning to trust in the one who provides. They feared they would starve. In fact, when they focused on their resources, it led to an attitude of complaining. Let me say that again. You see, when they were focused on their resources, it led to an attitude of complaining. How often is it that when we persist in our problems, we begin to grumble and complain? When we see the gap between what's needed and what I have, I start to complain, Lord, don't you care? Have you brought me to this place that I may suffer? Have you brought me to this place that we're going to die? Do you not see, Lord? When we focus on the wilderness, it breeds in our heart an attitude of complaining. But God did something unexpected in the wilderness, didn't he, with Israel? He did something they didn't think was going to happen. He provided each day for their need. Every morning appearing in the wilderness was manna. What seemed impossible, God provided. Jesus feeding the 5,000 is no accident. It's a familiar story to those who walk after the Lord. It's a familiar story to the people of God. It's a story that reflects back on the faithfulness of God. It's not just about multiplying loaves and fishes. It's not just about having our stomachs filled for the day. Jesus is reenacting the wilderness to demonstrate the true bread of life. To demonstrate that it wasn't Moses who brought you manna in the wilderness. I am the bread of life. He's reenacting the wilderness to demonstrate where our provision, where our sustenance truly comes from. In the wilderness, with each breath, with each day, God provides. And that's something I think can get lost in our world. The gift of life. The gift that God provides each day. In verse 16, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, broke them. Then he gave it to the disciples to distribute to the people. This refrain here, looking up to heaven, Jesus gives thanks. He breaks the bread, the loaves, the fish. He gives it to the disciples for them to distribute. This refrain is repeated in Luke and in Acts. It becomes a rhythm through Luke, Acts. Think about the Lord's Supper, Luke 22. He gives thanks. He breaks the bread. He gives it to the disciples to distribute among themselves. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we see the early church breaking bread and distributing it among themselves. It's the rhythm and the refrain of the generosity of God. It's the rhythm and the refrain of the provision that comes from the host at the table. Luke records that they ate, that they were satisfied. I didn't dig into this for you, but notice there were 12 baskets left over. Steve, where are you getting all this wilderness? 12 baskets, 12 tribes. We're connecting to the story. And it should be one that we are familiar with as those who follow the Lord. God generously satisfies for the needs of his people. It's language that mirrors the Exodus story. And what did the disciples have to do here? They had to do what we have to do. They had to follow the Lord's instruction. In faithful obedience, what did they do? In faithful obedience, they did what God had said. They gave what they had. They brought what they had to Jesus. And Jesus multiplied it. And they were able to give to everyone, and everyone ate until they were full. So much so that there were 12 baskets left over. What was their responsibility? Give what we have and trust Jesus to satisfy, to close the gap between my limited resources and what's needed. This is a scene of the cross as well. When we're confronted with our debt, with our sin, and we realize I can't close this gap, the one who provides closes the gap. Herod, who then is this that I hear such things about? Luke 9 and verse 9. Luke uses this moment to draw out the answer to that question. As I mentioned, a question that's going to run through the gospel account of Luke. The crowds, what do they see? They see a miracle. They see loaves and fish multiplied. The disciples, they witness Jesus perform this act of hospitality and generosity. And you and I as readers, you and I today are invited to the table to see the generosity of God. We're invited to the table to see that God provides in the wilderness. Jesus is the one through whom God's provisions flow. Jesus is the compassionate grace and mercy of God walking among his people. Jesus is the kingdom of God, where the hungry are fed, where the people are made whole. And one of the things that we need to see is that in his hands are more than enough. In the hands of Jesus are more than enough. We come to the table in Luke 9, and we're reminded to bring what we have. It's not uncommon for us, for me, to focus on what little I have. It's not uncommon for me to simply see the gaps and the limits. It's not uncommon for me to be in the wilderness and see only the scarcity of the wilderness. But the Lord calls us to trust Him. He calls us to bring faithfully what we have, even if it seems so insignificant compared to the challenges that face us, that are gathered around us. He challenges us to bring faithfully what we have and trust in the Lord who provides. Generosity and provision are found in the hands of Jesus.